Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Nun Dalid. We are holding on daf Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Beis. We are at Amar Rami Bar Chama, about five lines into the wide lines on Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored Li'iloi Nishmas Meir Yosef Ben Avram Alav Hashalom by his children and grandchildren. And it's also sponsored by Ben Kalish for Refuah Shleima for Melech Yonah Ben Gittel. And we thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So first we're going to discuss the Isser of Mechamer. We're going to have three different versions of the Shita of Rami Bar Chama about the Chiyuv of Mechamer, about whether one is Chayiv Skila or Chatos or even Malkus for the Isser of Mechamer. Then the Gemara is going to discuss how to remove glass kalim from an animal. The Mishnah had spoken about if a person has an animal that's laden with mukta items, that you could just untie the bundles and they'll fall straight to the floor. So what if you have glass kalim that if they fall to the floor, they're all going to break? Is there some way to handle that? And then the Gemara is going to discuss some specifics about the Isser to use animals on Shabbos. We mishtamish b'val chai, b'tzadei b'alei chai, just from the sides of the animals, and that's going to lead into a discussion of being mishtamish b'ilan b'Shabbos, using a tree on Shabbos, using the tzadim of a tree on Shabbos, the tzidei tzadim of a tree on Shabbos, meaning what if you're not using the tree, you're not even using something that's attached to the tree, you're using something that's attached to that which is attached to the tree. For example, you have a nail in the tree or a hook in the tree, and then there's a hammock attached to the hook of the tree. So it's not the tzadim of the tree, it's the tzidei tzadim of the tree. So we'll get to all that Bezer Hashem today. So let's begin five lines into the wide lines on Daf Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Amar Rami Bar Chama, Hamechamer Acher Behemto, a person who leads his animal while it's carrying a burden b'Shabbos, b'Shogeg Chayev Chatas b'Meiz Chayev Skila. Version number one of Rami Bar Chama is that Mechamer is like any malacha on Shabbos, that you're Chayev Skila if you do it b'Meizid, you're Chayev Chatas if you do it b'Shogeg. The fact that it's not one of the Avos Malachos of Shabbos, meaning it sounds like it has all the dinim of an Av Malach on Shabbos, so the Ramban writes, it could be that the Mishnah doesn't list it because it wasn't done in the Mishkan. Mechamer wasn't done in the Mishkan, so it's not listed among the Avos Malachos, but you are Chayiv Mida Oraisa. Or it could be that Mechamer is included in the Malachos of Hotza'ah and Ha'avara, being Mavir Dal Ramos Pershasam, because it's not an independent Malacha, it's an offshoot of the Malacha of Hotza'ah. So that could be why it doesn't get listed in the Mishnah 9 Gimel about the 39 Malachos of Shabbos. My time, how does he know that there's such a din that Mechamer has all of these Chiyuvim? So Amar Rava. Rava explains that the Damar Kra lo sasa kol malacha ata uvehemtecha. So from the pasuk we learn the Yisra of Mechamer and tells us behemto dum yadidei. It says ata and behemtecha. So apparently the Yisra of behema is similar to the Yisra of a person doing malacha. So mahu, just like when a person does malacha b'shogi chayiv chatzis meiz chayiv skila, af behemto nami b'shogi chayiv chatzis meiz chayiv skila. Just like when a person does one of the malachas, he's chayiv chatzis if he does b'shogi skila, if he doesn't meiz it. So Mechamer is when the behema does a malacha, so you're chayiv as well. It's so fascinating that Rava is the one who's explaining the Shita of Rami Bar Chama, and we're about to say that Rava is the one who asks on Rami Bar Chama, who rejects this Shita of Rami Bar Chama. But that just highlights the point that in order to ask on a Shita, you need to first understand it very, very well. So Rava is the one that explains what the basis of Rami Bar Chama is, and now that we understand the basis of Rami Bar Chama, Amar Rava, Shtei Tshuvas B'davar, that I have two kashas on this limud. Kasha number one is Dichsiv in the parsha of Karbanos of someone who's Avid Avod Zara B'Shogeg. The pasuk says Torah Achas Yelachem La'Osu B'Shkaga V'Nefesh Shertasa B'Yad Rama. The pasuk goes on V'Nechusan Nefeshim Mekaravama. So when the pasuk says Torah Achas, what we're doing is, even though the pasuk is written with regard to Avod Zara, Huksha Kala Torah Kula La'Avod Zara, that we're linking Kala Torah Kula with Avod Zara, that the Chiyuv Chatas and all of Erev Shem B'Torah is only in the very same situation that you're chayiv a korban for avodah zara. Ma avodah zara to oven ma'isa begufei. Just like avodah zara, you're only chayiv if you did a ma'isa begufo, that you did the ma'isa yourself, and it's not enough that you caused the ma'isa to be done by somebody else, because it says la osa bishkaga in the pasuk of avodah zara. So we see you're only chayiv a korban korban if you actually did a maisa. So achanami, by all other averus, you only chayev achatas adav in maisa begufe. And when you did the maisa yourself, but by mechamer, even though you caused the behemoth to do a maisa, you yourself didn't do a maisa. It's only dibur, so you're not going to bring a korban chatas. So that's a kasha on Rami Bar Chama, because Rami Bar Chama says you are chayev chatas for mechamer. So kasha number one is that apparently you need to do a maisa to be chayev achatas, and you're not doing a maisa by mechamer. You're just speaking, and the animal is moving. Va'od, and another rejection of Rami Bar Chama, that which he says that b'meizi d'chayev skila also doesn't work, because Tanan, the Mishnah says in Maseches Sanhedrin, hamechalel es haShabbos b'davar shechayev al shigas achatas al zdonos skila. A person who's mechalel Shabbos is listed among the niskalin in Maseches Sanhedrin. Maseches Sanhedrin goes through the dalal misos and what one is chayev. Each of the dalal misos for what sort of averus one has to do to be chayev the dalal misos. So mechalel es haShabbos is only in that which you're chayev al shigas achatas and al zdonos skila mechalel. But that implies the ikamidi that there is a way to violate Shabbos. The ain chayev al shigas achatas lo al zdonos skila, where you're not chayev achatas b'shogeg nor skila if you do it b'meizid umay nihu lav de mechamer. So what is that iser? That is the lav of mechamer, where you're not chayev karban chatas. So you see in the Mishnah that you're not chayev skila for it either. So that's a kasha on Rami Bar Chama. So essentially we have two kashas on Rami Bar Chama. First of all, how could you say you're chayev chatas, you didn't do a maisa? Second of all, how could you say you're chayev skila? The Mishnah in Sanhedrin implies that there's a way to violate Shabbos without being chayev skila. Says Gemara, lo. It doesn't, not necessarily referring to the iser of mechamer. It could be that that Mishnah, the responding to the second question, that the Mishnah Masech Sanhedrin implies that there's some sort of iser Shabbos that does not involve skila and chatas. It could be that it's not talking about mechamer at all. It's talking about some other violation of Shabbos, which is not a real, full-fledged, regular malacha. What would that be? Two possibilities. Tchum in Valibid Rabbi Akiva, the iser of Tchum Shabbos, according to the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, who holds in Masech HaSotah Daf Chav Zayin, that the iser of going outside the Tchum Shabbos is an iser da'oraisa, but there's no chiyuv skila for doing so, even though it's an iser da'oraisa. That's a machlokas. Rabbi Akiva darshins from the pasuk when it describes the cities of the Levim. It says, "Amadosam michutz li'iras pa'as kedma al payim ba'ama," that you should have a 2,000 amma area around the city. But previously, the Torah already said, "Umigrashayar mashetitnu Levim akiriyar v'chutza." Elef amos aviv, that it should be 1,000 amos around the city. So how do we reconcile the two psukim? One that says there should be 1,000 amos around the city of Levim, and the other that says there should be 2,000 amos. So Rabbi Akiva reconciles it by saying that it's 1,000 amos around the cities of Levim that you leave empty, and when it says you have to measure 2,000 amos, that's around every city you have to measure 2,000 amos, because that's for Tchum Shabbos. So that's where Rabbi Akiva derives the inyan of Tchum Shabbos min haTorah. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi Aglili disagrees with Rabbi Akiva in Masechta Sota, and he says, no, there's another way to reconcile the Pesukim. When the Pasuk says that it's Elef Amma, that's among the two of the 2,000 Amos that you leave around the cities, you need to leave 1,000 Amma of Migrash where you don't plant anything, where there aren't even any trees, it's just empty, it's open area. So there are 2,000 Amos around the city, 1,000 Amos where you can plant trees and other things, and another 1,000 Amos where you have nothing around the city, but there's nothing about Tchum Shabbos in there, according to Rabbi Lazar ben Osher Rabbi Yossi Aglili. But according to Rabbi Akiva, you see that the Yisr of Tchumin is Doraisa, and yet, nevertheless, even though it's Doraisa, there's no Chiyuv Skila. Or the other possibility of what's in Yisr Shabbos that doesn't have a Chiyuv Skila or Chiyuv Chatas, Havara Alibid Rabbi Yossi, the Yisr of Mavir, according to Shitas Rabbi Yossi. That we had back on Daf Ayin, it comes up in a number of places in Shas. The Torah, in addition telling me, Losas Kom Lacha, also says that you're not allowed to have eish in on Shabbos. So what does it mean lo sevaru eish? So machlokas havara lechalik yatzus or havara lelav yatzus. Is it coming to tell me that there's chilik malachas, that it's that each malacha havara is an example, it's a paradigm, but every malacha is like havara that you're chayv separately for? Or no? Maybe Rabbi Yossi says havara is only a lo sase, it's not a chiyuv skila. So that's the other possibility of a malacha on Shabbos that is not a chayiv skila. So it doesn't necessarily have to be about mechamer. So again, first version of Rami Bar Chama was that mechamer is like a regular malacha. You chayiv chatos and skila and everything. Rava disagreed with both of those points, that it can't be that you chayiv chatos and it can't be that you chayiv skila. Although we reconciled the shita of Rava, where I feel like I'm back in camp now. We reconciled the shita of Rava when someone must have, the electricity's on. Someone's in the garage. Someone just shut the light. No, I don't know. Okay, no, you're on the wrong switch. I mean the next switch. Oh no, that's okay. I don't know. Anyway, so it's going to be tough to see the Gemara. So Rava, what was I just saying? Yeah, so the first version of Rabbi Bar Chama, we had two kashas on that which he's chayev chatos, if he, oh, thank you very much, thank you. Okay, that which he's chayev chatos, if he does it b'shogeg, that which he's chayev skila, if he does it b'mezid, avi, that which he, okay, thank you. That was his chayiv chatos, he does b'shogeg. That was his chayiv skila. If he does it b'mezid, and we pointed out that the second kasha is maybe not such a kasha because the whole kasha assumes that mechamer is the only example of something that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos that doesn't carry skila and chatos with it. But we pointed out there are two other possibilities. Now, version number two of Rami Bar Chama, Rav Zvid Masni Hachi, Amar Rami Bar Chama, Hamechamer Achar Behema b'Shabbos b'shogeg Eino chayiv chatos, but b'mezid chayiv skila. This version says, no, if you do it b'shogeg, you're not going to be chayiv chatos. It's not a regular malacha in that regard, because like we said, we derive from Avodah Zarah that only when you do a maisa, you're chayiv chatos. Mechamer, you're not doing a maisa, but b'mezid, you are chayiv skila, because the ato b'hemtecha, we're about to see that we have a limud between you, or we saw already, between you and your behema. So just like you're going to be chayiv skila, your behema is also chayiv skila. So Masiv Rava challenges that. What about the Mishnah in Sanhedrin? Hamachal Shabbos Ravish chayiv nal shigas chatos chayiv nal zdonos skila. So it could be medayik from the Mishnah that only something that you're chayiv shigas chatos are you then going to be chayiv al zdonos skila? So had ein chayiv nal shigas chatos. It's a different question this time because it's a different version of Rami Bar Chama. But what Rava is asking is the implication of the Mishnah and Sanhedrin is that you're only going to be chayiv skila for doing b'mezid those very same actions that you'd be chayiv chatos if you did them b'shogeg. But the implication is ha'ein chayiv nol shigasol chatos. If you were not chayiv chatos if you're doing it b'shogeg, ein chayiv nol zdonos skila. You would not be chayiv for doing it you would not be chayiv skila for doing it b'mezid. So mechamer, where Rami Bar Chama himself is saying you're not chayiv chatos if you do it b'shogeg, you should not be chayiv skila when you do it b'mezid. So says Gemara, that's a diuk. Mikatani ha'ein chayavin. Does it tell me that there's that if you're not chayiv chatos b'shogeg, it automatically means you're not chayiv skila b'mezid? No, hachika amar. What the Tana is trying to tell me is davar shechayav nal shigasol chatos. Chayav nal zdonos skila, that it's a positive indicator, but it's not a negative indicator. Whenever you are chayav chatos for doing a b'shogeg, then yes, you're going to be chayav skila for doing a b'mezid. But it doesn't necessarily work in the reverse. Yesh davar shein chayav nal shigas chatos, chayav nal zdonos skila. U'mayniu mechamer, but there could still very well be an example of something that you're not going to be chayav chatos when you do a b'shogeg, but you're still going to be chayav skila if you do a b'mezid. Rava achua de Rav Mari Barachel, the Armila Avua Rav Mari Barachel. So the Gemara brings a third version of the Shita of Mechamer, but the Gemara says that this was introduced to us by Rava, the brother of Rav Mari Barachel, and some say he was Avua Rav Mari Barachel. He was the father of Rav Mari Barachel. Before we say what he says, the Gemara explains how it could be that Rava was the father of Rav Mari Barachel. So Lishna Basu, according to the second Lashon, that Rava was the father of Rav Mari. Kasha had the Rav actually Rav Mari Barachel. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us that Rav was machshir Rav Mari Barachel. He said that he had a kasher yichus. And he put him as an officer over the tzibur in Bavel, even though, presumably, his father was a Nachri. So you see that he didn't have a Jewish father. So how could you say that Rava was his father? It's not possible that Rava was the father of Rav Mari Barachel. Says Mari Dumatrei, Mari Barachel Havu. Who says? Maybe there are two Mari Barachel. Rachels. There was one who had a father who was a guy, and that was a chiddush that they were able to appoint him in the position of Sarara over the tzibur. And then you have the other one who was whose father was Rava. But the clear implication is that Murray's mother was Rachel, right? So Murray's mother was Rachel, and this Rachel may have had more than one child, because according to the first version, Rava was the brother of Murray bar Rachel. So that's a fascinating idea, because the Arizal is apparently writes that when he goes through the Shemos of the Imos, he says that their Imos that have an Os Hey at the end, Sarah, Rivka, Leah, Bilha, Zilpa, and Os Hey is an indication of capacity to conceive, of capacity to have children. Rachel, who doesn't have an Os Hey in her name, was an Akara. She was barren, and that's why she says to Yaakov to take Bilha, her Shivcha, to be built through Bilha, because Bilha has the extra Os Hey that shows the capacity to have children. So the question was asked to Rabban Tzion Abba Shaul, if a woman was suffering from machlos and from yisurim, so he asked that they asked her name, and her name was Rachel. He said, you got to change the name to a different name, and then she'll have bracha of chayim tovim l'shalom v'chulei. Everything is going to be good. So in the Sefer Derech Sicha, he was asked, is there such an inyan not to give a girl the name Rachel? Rachel seems like a pretty common Jewish name. Should a woman not have the name Rachel? So he says in Derech Sicha, Divrei Hevelheim. That is absolute nonsense. The makar, for those who assume that that Rachel somehow is unable to have children, is that Svarim say that Rachel was missing the Os Hey, and that's why she wasn't able to have children, and that's why Bilha, who had two ways, was able to have children. One of them was for Rachel, but he says that's not something to be choshish, because Meisim Bechol Yom, that there are lots of women named Rachel who have large families. And he says, if you don't believe what your eyes see, the Meisim Bechol Yom all around you, at least believe the Gemara. Rav Murray bar Rachel had a brother, Rava bar Rachel. She had at least two sons. Apparently they're Chashav Yidden, so you have nothing to be concerned about. That's the raya that he brings. Okay, have a masil la hashmaite. So anyway, what Rav Murray bar Rachel was teaching, where this Rava was teaching, was the following teaching. Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan Liftar, that to say that you're potter. What does that mean? That Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ha-mechamer achar b'emto b'shabbos, potter miklum, that if a person is mechamer on Shabbos, not that you're chayev chatos if you do b'shogeg and skila if you do b'mezid, nor even that you're potter from chatos b'chayev skila, no, potter for everything. B'shogeg lo mechayev chatos, tuk shakol ha-torah kul lavel d'zara, if you do b'shogeg, you're not chayiv chatos, because the Kol HaTorah is linked to Avodah Zarah in terms of chayiv chatos. Avodah Zarah is the parsha that serves as the model for a chayiv korban when you do something b'shogeg, and just like by Avodah Zarah, it's only when you do something begufo. So here also, when by every other issur in the Torah, including Shabbos, it's only when you do a ma'isa begufo. Rabbi Kivayger asks that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Masech Sanhedrin, that when a ma'isa is done by your kol, it's considered to be a ma'isa. So how does Rabbi Yochanan prove anything? That's called a ma'isa. You are doing a ma'isa. You're being mechamer. You're calling out to the animal. So the Rashash and the Prima Gadim and other Achronim suggest that that which Rabbi Yochanan says that a dibur is considered a ma'isa, that's only with regard to malchus. But as far as the chiyuv chatos, it's not going to be considered a ma'isa. The gedder of ma'isa for different halachos might be different, because by chatos the limud is from avodah zarah. By malchus, the limud is from the Sachsim Shor B'disho. So it could be that by malchus, Hashma's call is not called a ma'isa, but when it comes to chiyuv chatos, I'm sorry, that Hashma's call is a ma'isa, but when it comes to chiyuv chatos, using your voice maybe is not considered a ma'isa. Each halacha is going to have to be measured separately. That's how the Achronim answer Rabbi Kivager's kasha. But the second half of what Rav is telling us, b'mezid nami lo mechayiv. You're not chayiv skil if you do b'mezid either. Why? Why? Titnan. The Mishnah and Sanhedrin tells us Hamachal the Shabbos B'davish Chayev Nal Shigas Al Chatos Al Zdonos Skila. So we're Medayek Ha'Ein Chayev Nal Shigas Al Chatos Ein Chayev Nal Zdonos Skila. That whenever you're not going to be Chayev Al Chatos for doing a Bishogeg, Mimeli you're not going to be Chayev a Skila if you do it B'Mezid. So therefore you're Chayev for neither. And then the Gemara says, I'll tell you even a greater Chiddush. Not only are you not Chayev Al Chatos, not only are you not Chayev Skila, B'Lav Nami Lo Mechayev. You don't even get malchus for violating the issue of losasa kol melacha on Shabbos when you do that, when you do mechaber. Why? Tavalei lav shenitin lasaras misas beizdin, because it's a lav that's nitin lasaras misas beizdin. It's coming to say that someone who violates this lav, meaning this lav includes things that if you violate, you're chayiv misas beizdin, because it's just a general issue of losasa kol melacha. So there are many, many melachos of Shabbos which you're chayiv misas beizdin. So even though this one mechaber you're not, but included in that love, or chiyuvei mises beizdin, we call love shenitin lasaras mises beizdin, ein lokan alav. Since the purpose of the love is to tell us that that this is an ashara, that if you do this, you're chayiv misa. So even in the case where you're not going to be chayiv misa, you're also not going to be chayiv malkus. Even though it could be that even by something that doesn't have the potential for chayiv misa, like by mechamer, where you're never going to be chayiv misa, you're still not going to be chayiv malkus because this love includes those things that you're chayiv misa. That's how Tosos explains in Dibra Maschil Bilav, that the purpose of this lav is as an ashara for misa, and therefore we cannot use this lav as an ashara for malchus. Va'afilu leman diyamar lokin, and even if you assume that you can get malchus for that which is a lav that's nitan lasaras misa spazin, a mechamer does not get malchus, because the lav of mechamer is not a full-fledged lav that you get malchus for, because if it were a full-fledged lav, lichtov rachmana, lo sasa kol melacha uvehemtecha. Let the Torah just say, lo sasa kol melacha uvehemtecha. Ata lamali. Why does it have to say the word ata in the pasuk? So it must be, hu niyudu mechayev, behemto lo mechayev, to tell me that it's dafka when he does a melacha alone that he's going to be chayev. So then he's in violation of a full-fledged lav and he's getting malchus. But a melacha that's done by his behema, meaning the isra of mechamer, he's not going to be a lav gamur. He's not going to be chayev for such a lav. The Sfasemis points out that according to the Shita that you don't get malchus for a lav shenitin lasaras misas beizdin, the word ata is not needed to pater you for malchus, because anyway you don't get malchus for a lav shenitin lasaras misas beizdin. So what do you use the word ata for? That mechamer doesn't get skila. Whereas if you hold that normally you do get malchus for lav shenitin lasaras misas beizdin, you have to learn ata to tell me two things: that you don't get skila and that you don't get malchus. Now the sugya in general about whether doing a malacha on Shabbos al yidei dibur is considered a malacha or not is an important sugya in halacha in a number of places. Meaning certainly there are two isurim that relate to malacha al yedei a behema on Shabbos. There's an isur of shvisas behemto that we spoke about earlier, and that is that a behema is not allowed to do malacha even if your behema is not allowed to do malacha even if someone else is having your behema do malacha. If it's your behema, it's your responsibility to make sure it doesn't do malacha. And then over here we have a second isur called mechamer. The isur of mechamer is to cause a behema to do malacha, and it doesn't even need to be your animal. You're in violation if you cause a behema to do malacha. Rov Rishonim in our sugya holds that it applies even if the behema is not yours, and that's how they explain the reason the Gemara asks on our Mishnah that it's mechamer. Why doesn't the Gemara say that you're violating shvisas behema? Right? Why is the Mishnah asking about mechamer? Because in order to avoid violating shvisas behema, we could just very simply say it's not your animal, so it's not your problem. It's not your shvisas behema, but that will not get you around the issue of mechamer. So based on this, the Mishbura writes in the name of the Prima Gadim, the Mishbura writes in Simin Reish Samach Vav that a person should be careful if you're standing in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos and there's a horse-drawn wagon, and even an empty wagon don't talk too loudly, because you may startle the horses, and they're going to start to walk. And if you startle the horses, and they start moving, it's an Isra Mechamer. I, they're not my horses, I don't care, says the Mishnah Berurah in Prima Gadim. They don't need to be your horses. And the Isra Mechamer is even if it belongs to somebody else. So the idea of doing Malacha Al Yidei Dibur, that it's considered a Malacha, not just a Grama, is an interesting discussion in Poskim, right? Meaning, do we assume that that's Dafka Chiddush by Mechamer, or is it true by every Malacha Al Yidei Dibur that it's considered to be an actual Maisa Malacha? In Chashuk Echamer, he discusses different cases where Malacha could be done Al Yidei Dibur. He discusses voice-activated telephone, right? If you want to call somebody, so you tell you a voice command on the phone. Whether that's more cal, maybe if you have a doctor who has to make a phone call, maybe it'd be better if he asks Siri to make the phone call for him rather than make the phone call himself. So he says it could be that there isn't a Siddharaisi even by something that you're only Medaber Bepiv, and it's not considered Grama, but he says it could be that it's not a Chiv Min HaTorah, because the Isser of a telephone is Melechas Bona, and we don't find anywhere that Melechas Bona can be violated Al Yidei Dibur. There are other Melechas that maybe could be violated Al Yidei Dibur, but not necessarily the Melech of Bona. So maybe it would have a din of a Grama, and maybe that taka would be better. It's risky, though. If you leave Siri on, Siri's listening to everything. Someone was telling me that they had a Shabbos company, and they were explaining that they have the Siri, and it's the coolest thing. And they said, really? How does it work? I said, oh, it's great. You just say, Siri, play my playlist. And Siri then started to play the playlist throughout the rest of Shabbos lunch. So you got to be careful, because Siri, because you, if you're not a doctor, then you shouldn't be playing your playlist on Shabbos. Okay. Higia l'chatzer achitzona. If a person, if you have a kelim on the animal, and you get to the outermost chatzer on Shabbos, so you could untie the bundles and let the... So if they're kelim that are muktzah, they're not nitel b'Shabbos, so you untie the bundle and let them just fall to the floor themselves. So I'm Rav Huna, I said, behemto tuna kli zechuchis. What if the behemoth was carrying kli zechuchis? So a glass kelim, you can untie, it's going to fall to the floor, it's going to shatter all over the place. So what you do is, maybe kar muktzahs maniach tachteha. You bring cushions and you put them underneath the animal, umatir chavalim v'asakin noflim. And then you untie them, and then the sakin will just fall on their own. So says Mar, but wait, if it's kelim, what's your problem? No, kelim aren't mukta, so just take the kelim off. Why do you have to do this whole untying the bundle? That trick was only if the things are mukta. So kikam rafuna bekarni du umna. No, there is such a thing as glass kelim that are mukta. If these kelim were used for bloodletting purposes, where they're delo chazile, where they're not roi for anything on Shabbos, they're mutless, they're disgusting. You would never drink out of them. You would never use them for anything else, and therefore they're mukta. So that's the way you have to deal with them. But still, I don't like the Eitzah of taking cushions and putting it underneath the animal, because that's going to be Mvatel Kli Me'echano, because now those cushions are not going to be usable for anything, because they have Muktza sitting on them. And being Mvatel Kli Me'echano, Rashi writes, is as if you're being so sir the Kli. I ain't Binyan Vestira Bekelim. That's on a Daraisa level. But Midirabanan, there is Binyan Vestira Bekelim. So it's Ki'ilu, you're being so sir the Kli. That's how Rashi touches it up over here. On Daf Mem Beis and Beis, Rashi said a little differently, that since you're not allowed to remove the kelim from there, it's as if you're being koveya those kelim in that spot for the rest of Shabbos, and it's as if you've cemented the kelim into the ground for the rest of Shabbos right there, and that's not a malach of sosa, it's a malach of bone. Either way, you still have to say that ain't bin yastira bekelim, but midrabanan, there is bin yastira bekelim. And the Ramban understands that the Gemara's kasha is that since by putting the cushions there under the kelim, you're violating Bitul Kli Me'echano, it should be usher to put the cushions under the kelim, and therefore what? What are we suggesting? So he's suggesting that the Ramban says the Gemara's kasha is you should have to let them fall to the floor even if they're going to break. The Magen Avraham says not that way. Magen Avraham says no. You're not going to have to let them fall to the floor and break because we allow Nisus Rabban and Shabbos B'makom Hefsin Maru. The Gemara's kasha is, since putting the kelim there is going to anyway violate Nisid Rabbanan, so the Ma'inaf Kamina, whether you're violating Nisid Rabbanan of being metaltel directly, of lifting the kelim directly off the animal, or it's going to be Mavatel Kli Me'echano by putting the cushions underneath. It's obviously you have no other option. It's a Hefsin Meruba, so therefore we should be matter, the Nisid Rabbanan. That's how the Magen Avraham writes in Siman Reish Samach Vav. Different. That's how he learns within Rashi. Different than the Ramban, who thinks the Gemara is asking that you should be up a creek and there should be nothing that you could do, and you should have to leave the kelim there. So anyway, answers the Gemara, b'shlifi zutri. Maybe we're talking about very small bundles of kelim, that after they fall onto the cushions, you can just easily pull the cushions out from under them, and they'll then roll over onto the ground, and it's you don't have to be mivatel the karbu ksasos there for the whole Shabbos. It's not going to be a violation of bitul klei meichanu. Aye, but aren't the karbu ksasos a basis l'davar ha'aser? Shouldn't they be muktzah on account of being a basis davar ha'aser? So says the Balamar, no, that's only if the muktzah item was there, bein hashmashos. Over here, the muktzah item came onto the kelim, came onto the karbu ksasos in middle of Shabbos. So then there's no basis davar ha'aser. Or he says that since you intended to put it there al manas that they shouldn't break, and then your plan all along was to remove them from the cushions, the cushions therefore do not become a basis, because it only would become a basis if your plan was to leave it there. That is so that's how the Balamar explains why it's not a problem of basis. And now ask the Gemara, wait a second, Meisvei Haisa Behemto Tuuna Tevel the Ashashios, if your animal is holding tevel or pieces of thick pieces of glass, Matiris Achavalim, you untie the ropes that are holding it onto the animal, Vasakin Noflin, and then the bags will fall to the floor, Vaaf Alpi Shemishtabrin, even though the glass is going to break, still you have no other option. So don't you see in the Brisa that you're not allowed to just put cushions underneath and allow the cushions to catch the glass kalim? It's Asr, says Marno Hasan Bakulsa. The Brisa is talking about thick pieces of glass that you're supposed to make windows out of, and since anyway you're intending to cut them down to the size of whatever windows you want to use them for, so you're going to have to cut them so it's not a major hefset if they break. They're going to have to break anyway, and you just hope that they break along the lines roughly of where you'll still be able to cut them further to make your windows. So for such a case, we're not going to allow bringing karamuk sasos. The Rashba points out that the Gemara could have just said that the Brice is talking about masa'os gedolim, large bundles, because we already said that by the karamuk sasos, the only reason it was a good option, and it's not a problem of bona or sos or whatever, is because you could slip out the karamuk sasos since they're very small packages of glass kalim. But if they were larger, they would break even if you slip out the karamuk sasos. Okay, but the Gemara thought of a better answer. Anyway, dekanami, it's meduyak like this answer the Gemara is suggesting, that we're talking about these large pieces of glass that you're gonna size them for windows. Dekatani dumya de tevel, because it mentions the glass in the same breath that it mentions tevel. So there must be some link between them, some connection between them. Ma tevel de lo chazile, just like tevel, there's nothing you can do with them on Shabbos. Sa av hachanami de lo chazile, these pieces of glass also are something that you have no use for on Shabbos, because there are these big, thick pieces of glass. So umay afal pisha mishtabrin, what does it mean when it says afal pisha mishtabrin? If there's no hefsid when they break, what's the afal pi? Meaning afal pisha, even though they break? What do you mean? Who cares that they break? If when they break, you're just they're just going to be more usable when you want to cut them down even further to use them for windows. So ma'u detema lefsin mu'an nami chashu kamash milan. Now I might have thought that since when they do break, there are going to be pieces of it that are not maximized, meaning it could be you have these large panes of glass and you're going to have to cut them down for windows, but you wouldn't cut them that way. You wouldn't drop them on the floor and then say, okay, let's see what we got, because then you're going to have some pieces that are not usable. So I might have thought that we're choshish for the hefsid muat, and for that you should be able to bring some cushions to catch it. So kamash milan, that's why the Brisa tells me that no, we don't allow putting karam for hefsid muat for such a tiny hefsid. The reason we only allow hefsid meruba is because Rav Huna holds that ain't kli nitel b'shabbos el litzorech davar nitel, that you're not allowed to be metaltel a kli on Shabbos litzorech something that you're not allowed to be metaltel on Shabbos, and that iser Tosfos points out they're only matir that iser. Tosfos points out in Mem Gimel and Beis they're only matir that iser litzorech hefsid meruba. The Ramban says that even though you're not mevatel the karim for the rest of Shabbos, but it's aser to be mevatel kli meyechano even for just a short amount of time, unless it's hefsid meruba. That's why we have to say that it's hefsid meruba, because karim uksasos, we already asked, isn't it being mevatel kli meyechano? And we answered, no, you could slip the karim, you could slip the kelim off of the karim uksasos. Yeah, but but you're still being mevatel them for a short amount of time. But we'll allow that for Hafsin Ruba. For Hafsin Muat, we're not going to allow being mevatel kli meichanu. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Tanya, Rav Shimon ben Yochai Omer, ha'isa behemto tuna shlif shel tavua. If a behemah is holding a bunch of tevel, a bunch of grain that's tevel, see, it's muksa. You can't remove it from the animal yourself. So meniach rosha tachteha, you put your head underneath one side of the bundle, and you remove it on the other side, and then it will come out, it will fall on its own. One time, Rami Gamliel's chamor was holding honey on its back. Rami Gamliel would not unload that burden from the animal until Motzai Shabbos Mesa. By the time Motzai Shabbos came, the donkey had died. So, frankly, why did he allow the donkey to die? Just take the honey off. Honey's not mukta, so anything that's not mukta, the Mishnah says you're just allowed to take off the animal. No, kashahidvish. We're talking about honey that had already gone bad, that you can't use on Shabbos. Wait a second. Isn't honey one of those things that never, ever goes bad? That's bee honey. Dvash tamarim, mistama, does go bad because it's a fruit product. So hidvish lemai chazi, says more, but if it went bad, then why is he schlepping it on his animal? What does he need it for? So the kidcha degamli, it's usable as an ointment for the camel's back. If the camel has any sores, they would rub this honey on the animal's back. But you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. It's refuah of the behem on Shabbos. That you're not allowed to do. So it's muksa on Shabbos. So says Gemara, but still there's another eitzah. V'yatir chavalim v'yiplusakin. Why doesn't he just untie the bundles and let the honey fall to the floor? The bags of the honey fall to the floor. Says Gemara, mitzru ziki, that they would crack and they would break open if they fell to the floor, and all the honey would be lost. Okay, but still, we went through another eitzah. V'yavi karim k'sasus v'yaniach tachtein. Why can't you bring cushions and put them underneath them? So says Gemara, mitanfi v'kamvat l'kli me'echanu. Because the cushions, are they going to get full of honey, and they're not going to be ready to use on Shabbos, and that's going to be mevatel kli me'echano. I mean, even though the honey may not stay on them the entire Shabbos, but if you have honey all over the cushions, they're not going to really be usable. Ay, ve'ikat sar b'lichayim, but how could he leave it there? It's sar b'lichayim, it's nisr d'oraisa. So bitul kli me'echano is what you're worried about. Bitul kli me'echano is only an nisr midrabanan. Sar b'lichayim is an nisr d'oraisa. That's how Rashi understands the kasha. That bitul kli me'echano is only an nisr d'rabanan. So for tzar b'lechayim d'oraisa, it should take precedence. No, kasavr tzar b'lechayim d'rabanan. He holds that tzar b'lechayim is only nisr d'rabanan. That's a machlokas tanaim in Maseches Bamitzia Daf Lamed Beis. Whether tzar b'lechayim is d'rabanan or d'oraisa. If it is d'oraisa, it needs explanation. Where in the world, where in the Torah exactly does it say this of tzar b'lechayim? So that's where Rav Asher Weiss has a piece in one of his svarim where he goes through 13 different shitos in Rishonim and Achronim what the basis for tzar b'lechayim min haTorah is, and that forms the backbone of Rav Asher Weiss's Mahalich. It's really Rav Elchanan Wasserman's Mahalich, but Rav Asher Weiss expanded in certain ways of Ratzon HaTorah, that the concept that sometimes you could have a Din D'oraisa that is not even derived from the Yogam Midrash HaTorah Drash Ben. It doesn't fit any of the Midrash HaTorah Drash Ben. It's not Mufurish in the Pasuk, but the Torah just keeps on over and over again highlighting this or implying this point that this is a value, and that becomes a Din D'oraisa. So the fact that there are 13 different shitos tells you that the Torah at least alluded to Tzar B'Lechayim in 13 different places, and therefore that's an indicator that Tzar B'Lechayim is a value, not just a value, but a Din D'oraisa. Okay, says Gemara now Vayta. Abai Yashke Leila Rabba. To come shavshav leila brei agava dechamra. He saw that Rabba was being mishavshav his son on a chamor on Shabbos in order to calm him down, in order to relax him. So Amalei, Abai said to Rabba, come shavshav mar balichayim. You're being mishavshav balichayim. You're not allowed to ride on an animal on Shabbos. So any tashmish of behema you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. So Amalei studdin him. He says no, we're just petting the sides of the animal. Utstudin lo gozav rabbanon. The sides of an animal are not part of the gzeira of the rabbanon being mishayim shbal lechai, because the normal way to be mishayim shbal lechai is to use the animal's back, to sit on the animal, to put things on the animal, but the sides of the animal are not really particularly useful, and therefore it's not included in the yisud rabbanon. So minat temra, how do you know such a din that the sides of the animal are not included in the gzeira? It's not. Our Mishnah says that if your behema is carrying things that are muksa on Shabbos, matir chavalim v'asakin oflim. So my lav b'chaver Gavalki. Aren't we talking about a case where you have two sacks that are placed on the two sides of the donkey and they're tied through a ritzua? There's a strap over the back. Davalut studen. So when you untie the ropes, you have to get very close to the chamor and to lean in some way on it, and you're going to be rubbing against the sides of the chamor. But you're not allowed to be mishamish b'alechayim with studen. But apparently, studen is not going to be an issur. Says Gemara, no. Who says that that's what the Mishnah is talking about? Maybe chevra galvuki. Maybe we're talking about the bags that are not attached together. But there's one little peg that goes through a metal ring on the top of the strap. And when you pull that ritzua a little bit, the peg comes off and the bags fall on the sides. Love it, studen. In such a case, with such an arrangement, you don't need to rub up against the side of the animal. And that's why you're allowed to do it. Inami belichta. Or we're talking about a case where the top of each bag has a ring, and there's and one ring goes into the other ring, and there's a small piece of wood that you could put into the inner ring, and you could just lift off the bags that way. So you could just pull the piece of wood, stick a stick in there, and pull the bags off, and you're not going to have to go up against the side of the animal. So there is no use of the studen. Say svei shtayim b'day adam achas bi'il. Well, actually, okay. So we'll pick up tomorrow. The Gemara is going to ask about this din of tzadim when it comes to ilanos. The tzadim ilanos may be different, maybe the same. I thought we'd get to it today, but we'll try to catch up as with Hashem tomorrow. Okay. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos.